Hello and welcome back to the Drunken Transfer. This is the World Cup edition, match day two. We are back again, and it might surprise you, but this time I am joined by the Berkshire boy making all the noise.
You forgot what I look like.
I'm creating what last time they're not joined by the Berkshire boy. This time they are. What's next?
What'd you call them last week? What'd you call the two usurpers last week?
I just said that we weren't joined by the Berkshire boy making all the noise. We were joined by
two invaders to the throne.
Radio Cumbernauld's very own FPL expert without talking in a Welsh accent. And then I also
can't believe
said,
you had Hugh Edwards on last week.
I know. Welcome back to the podcast. We've had an awful set of news this evening. Some of our fantasy players have not
have
scored
died.
Points.
Black ties. Now, while they have kept my seat warm, and now that I have returned from being abducted by aliens, and I've safely landed back on Welsh shores, and whilst I was busy being probed, I found the time to put together a World Cup team.
Yeah.
And I'm glad to
be... Of course,
we
haven't actually seen your team yet. People know roughly what my draft was like, and it didn't... differ too much.
Rubbish,
you
I imagine. Yeah.
Well, I'm beating you. So.
Well, no, the only reason you beat me is because I decided to... Because I'm a risk taker. Yeah. I'm a thrill seeker. I changed my captaincy tonight and it didn't come off.
No, it didn't.
But thank you for welcoming me back with open arms. So can I just say, I one of the noises I've missed over the last 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks was you going, hello, when you were introduced to the podcast. It's so coy and nice. It's like one of the, like, in terms of like an ASMR soundboard. Lovely. I want that on tap. Anyway, it's lovely to see you. You and your like cheeky expression. Are you all footballed out? Like, considering we've got 4 games on a day at the moment, are you displaying any symptoms of ODing on the first bell?
Well, I was going to ask you a similar thing, really, because I have seen I've seen some at least of every game apart from 2. I didn't manage to catch the Denmark Chile game because I was out. Similar thing for the Belgium Canada game. But I'm really enjoying it. I mean, it's come at a great time for me because I finished my last job on the Saturday. World Cup started on the Sunday and I've had a full week of just being able to sit
blissfully unemployed.
Basically I gain employment when the groups have ended.
Finn always times his unemployment to coincide once every 4 years, so that even though there's like a humanitarian crisis ongoing out there, like, he's like, no, it's not going to get in the way of my football, because Finn is one of the most morally unscrupulous people I know.
Yeah, classic me, really. I mean, you know, I've got no moral boundaries.
He's got FIFA posters in his bedroom. He's got a big
got a heart Infantino.
You know, when I was about to say, you have a big inflatable at Gianni Infantino and plush set Blatter doll that you snuggle every night. Well, if you ever wanted to question our dedication to World Cup cause, I'm putting Finn Stockton, presenter of this podcast, on a train at 9 a.m. tomorrow morning to go out to a regional Welsh train station called Wangron Park. I'm taking him behind a car wash, not to assault him, but to make him watch the Wales Iran game.
I was thinking it was to sound a bit more carry on than an assault.
Oh, matron! No, but I've caught maybe 70% of the proceedings so far.
You sounded to me when we were talking earlier on like you were a little more fatigued than I was. You were saying you're a bit bored of the 0-0 draws.
Yeah,
and there have been a lot of 0-0 draws.
I sent a message to the lads that do the local football bit on my radio show every week saying, and this is 2 games in. This is after England played. And I said, I'm already fed up with the World Cup at this point.
Well, it's before the Holland game.
Yeah, I was before Holland even kicked a ball. I was like, "Yeah, I'm done. I'm not
really." Are you not into it? I think it does feel lackluster.
Yeah, and I feel like it's picked up now. But we'll end up talking about how the Dutch got on. I bet you missed my Dutch football trivia last.
Well, I was trying to provide it last time.
Oh, but you did a shit job.
Well, I missed that Pasveer wasn't going to start.
You've been feeding people duff information.
But I did give everyone the Bergwijn advice that you had provided.
You mean the Bergwijn advice that you stole from me, but then he ended up not doing very well, so I don't mind.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same with Andreas Skovholsen as well. The Skovholsen advice that you stole from me, but then
this is the problem we've had in the Premier League this season: is we nick each other's advice and then we don't do very well as a result of it.
Yeah, maybe we should just play our own game.
But to have an insight into the war zone that is the Louis van Gaal psyche, you know.
So, yeah, who he'll play. I mean, there was a couple of surprises, actually. And I'll talk more about this in a minute. But, like, you know, we were saying about how De Vrij over Timber was not what you expected.
No.
And also up front, Vincent Janssen.
The forgotten man. My dad, Jesus. A proud Dutchman, winced a thousand winces when he saw Vincent Janssen on the team sheet.
He is rubbish. Let's quickly go through the teams that let's mainly focus on yours, actually, just to start with, because obviously we don't really have any idea who you went with. Knopper was your keeper choice. Obviously, he did start.
He's 6'8".
Yeah, I mean, he was very good as well. Pole. Very good against Senegal. You got the double Dutch clean sheet, which started you off really
double
nicely.
Double Dutch,
yeah. Knopper and Dumfries. So a great start. I also had a defender from Group A, and it was someone I switched in the last 10 minutes, Purvis Estupiñán, and you big perv. He also got me.
You can't stay away from Purvis this season.
No, I really like him. I think that he's on set pieces for Ecuador.
One of the greatest romances of our time. Yeah. Purvis Estupiñán. Yeah.
We both
move along, Joe Gellert.
Yeah, exactly. Come on, Joe. Come back to bed. We both went for an England fullback. You went Shaw. I went Trippier. Yours came off.
Well, by virtue of the FIFA app not properly crediting his points, I managed to wangle an extra point from him, which shouldn't have been awarded.
I do think that is going to be taken back.
I wouldn't be so optimistic if I were you.
Cancelo's got the same thing for me right now. I put him into my team today. He conceded 2 goals, so he should realistically be on 0 points. Shaw should be on 3, not 4. I think we'll both have
the server room over at FIFA HQ is basically just 100 monkeys in a box, just like pressing random buttons. And I mean, honestly, if you think that the point tallies are going to be fixed before tomorrow, you're on a hiding to nothing, I'm afraid.
Well, maybe not. I mean, it has been, spoiler alert, we talked last week about the way that the game was formatted. It has been atrociously
put
together. It's been just dreadful. Incorrect points.
It were some like secondary school enterprise week project where they were like, for our like week in work, we're gonna build our own fancy football game, and then like imagine that the execution is like 100 times worse.
Yeah,
and that's what the current state of fantasy FIFA World Cup is. Because my god, like from everything from like budget glitches to points not updating correctly, to weird rules that allow you to transfer out a player mid-game week, to them changing the way that points are awarded mid-tournament, like taking away...
What was that change?
Well, before a ball was kicked, they said it's going to be 5 points a goal for both midfielders and forwards.
Yeah.
And then mid-game week, they decided, no, actually, we're going to give 7 points for a midfield goal and 5 points for a forward goal.
I mean, it doesn't even make any sense either, because I kind of understood the fact that the midfielder and striking goals were aligned. Like, that made sense to me, because a lot of the midfielders these days, certainly the ones that are registered on FPL, like Mo Salah, are essentially forwards. Mm. However, they have also moved all of those like inside forward, wing and mids to the forward tag anyway.
Yeah.
So it just seemed to be thinking, which was trying to push it too far the other way, when they actually had a happy medium in the middle, which they didn't use.
It's so bizarre. I mean, I was rather amused today when all of a sudden all the players' faces decided to appear in the app for the first time, having previously just been the shirts up until now. It literally feels like they're patching up bits of the plane as it's in the air.
It is being made up as we go along. And I think that whilst whoever wins out of the pair of us will enjoy the sensation of winning, I think we'll both also probably take solace in the fact that it is a far inferior game to FPL.
It's a bit of quote-unquote fun.
Yeah,
and it's probably the perfect representation of the current state of FIFA as a whole, honestly.
Yeah.
The fact that, like, I mean, Christ, if they can't organise a fantasy game, there's no hope for the sport as a whole, is there?
I mean, it's so shoddy, it's untrue. Yeah, it's going to tide us through to Boxing Day, but honestly, past that, it's a bit of fluff.
Yeah,
a bit of fluff.
It is. And shout out to Finlay Southcline, who has decided to boycott. Not for any grand political reason. He just can't be us.
Yeah.
And honestly, I'm kind of regretting not doing the same, honestly, because...
Really? I don't mind it. It's a thing to do. Because we're really selling this, aren't we? Keep listening.
Yeah, sorry. I mean, like, you did kind of just break down halfway through my defence, too. I've got Knopper, Shaw, Dumfries, Marler, and then Theo Hernandez, who I got such a jammy for.
I mean, that was
from.
Incredible. I mean, I did tell you beforehand, Lucas Hernandez was the starting left back. The fact that he then came off after 10 minutes. Mm. I mean, we realised at the time, I didn't know that Teo Hernandez was Lucas Hernandez's little brother.
Yeah, I did.
Never clocked
you
on
didn't
that.
Believe me.
Yeah, I didn't.
One's I feel like Teo's quite sort of, he's got a bit of the Dimitri Payet's about him, and that he's a little bit more, he's not like rotund, but he's more of a sort of chubby funster. Whereas Lucas Hernandez looks a bit more chiseled.
They're both, in terms of their positional play as well, they're both very different left backs. Teo Hernandez bombs forward a lot more, and I think now that he will be starting, he is a great pick.
But I like that. It's kind of like the duality of man, isn't it? It's like Teo is the yin to Lucas Yang. The duality.
Not duality.
Duality. I'll go with duality. I've got pedigree for this kind of thing. My midfield, I made a midweek switch from Joshua Kimmich to Angel Di Maria, which didn't come off.
This was the budget hack that you were talking about earlier. Which
wasn't much of a hack. It was more of a budget disaster.
But you I mean, you must have seen this online, right, beforehand.
Yeah, I saw some whisperings over on Reddit that people had managed to do it.
Yeah.
There were variations of it in that some people managed to game the system even more than me. To get in even better players, but I ended up having a switcheroo from Steven Bergvall, who'd already played, and Joshua Kimmich, who hadn't, to Georgian Darrasqueta and Angel Di Maria mid game week.
So, if you weren't aware of how it worked, basically, obviously, you get the set 100 million for this first game week, and you could make two free transfers throughout the game week, which obviously a lot of people have done. However, if you were then to take out a player who had already played, which obviously you did with Bergvall, who was 7 million, you could downgrade him to someone who was 5.5. Basically just going through your example, really, and then upgrade someone else who hadn't played, which essentially meant that your budget for the week was no longer the 100 mil. You'd spent like 101.5.
I've been sat on minus 1.5 budget for the whole game.
And as soon as you told me, I then also did the same thing and was sat on
but
minus
neither
3.5.
But neither of us profited from it because both of our replacements did nothing.
Nothing.
And also joining Di Maria on doing nothing was Kevin De Bruyne, who's very expensively priced at 11 million.
Yeah, we're going to have a little conversation about whether he's worth it later on. I think we're talking about Belgium. I also had Bergwijn. I also had Mähler as well, actually got the clean sheet with that as well. Skov Olsen, as I've mentioned, was the one that sort of like I advised you to go for. Didn't come off. And Musiala, the guy that I transferred in, also got 1 point. Looked lively.
There was a theme in the subs we made in that. We thought that both Di Maria and Musiala, both Argentina and Germany respectively, were going to win their games, and they didn't. They did the exact opposite. Yeah.
Well, there's a theme across the midfield. I don't think either of us had a point score in midfield, which is sort of kind of like harks back to what we were saying last week, in that the midfielder's position just feels like there's a complete dearth of quality in there at the moment, which is maybe why they put +7 for goals scored now as opposed to +5.
Well, it's funny, I was looking actually through the points tallies before we started recording.
Yeah.
And the amusing thing about the midfield, let me just see if I can get it new. I'm sure you're going to do some editing magic on this, but there are only three midfielders in the entire game that go on to triple digits this week, and it was Adrian Rabiot, Dani Olmo, and Bukayo Saka.
Wow.
And the rest of them, there weren't very many midfield returners, like full stop, and the ones that did were, you know, not people you would necessarily expect. I know that you were tipping Gavi, and then you didn't end up getting him in. But,
a bit frustrated by that.
Osman Bukhari for Ghana, anyone?
Oh, yeah, no. Okay.
Davy Klaassen for the Netherlands, Jesus Christ.
Well, he got 7 points, didn't he? But yeah, so in terms of the rest of the team, we did quite well up front. I captained Kane at first, he got 7 points to assist. I then switched to Messi, as per advice from the people of Twitter. Only a minor downgrade. Messi obviously scored, but just got a 6-pointer. And I also had Vinny in the final game, Vinny Jr. For 4 points. You had Neymar, and you made the controversial decision to switch your captain, 6-pointer Messi, captained up 12, 2 Neymar, and I've got yourself a captain 1.
I just thought I could do better than 6 points. And in hindsight, you know, we thought that the point sides were going to be close this week. I just thought it was a way of me sort of cementing a lead. I thought Neymar was going to have a bit of joy against Serbia. He was a foul magnet, but not a points magnet.
Had I
not got greedy, I would have just pipped you.
I think from my perspective, if my first captain gets a return, I will probably stick with them.
Yeah, but you're more conservative.
To be fair, my first captain did get a return with Kane on 7, but Messi was the only asset that I felt was almost guaranteed a return this week from my team. However, Argentina played so badly, I'm not so sure that I still stand by that.
And someone with 3 Argentina assets in their team, I'm shitting it ahead of game week 2.
Likewise, I really am. Yeah, well, let's sort of kind of come on to some of those assets in a bit, because I'm intrigued to hear what you think about Di Maria. Indeed. Should we go through the groups?
Yeah, why not? Because I know in terms of teams to target, all eyes were kind of on Group A ahead of the big kickoff. Because, you know, the Dutch were, on paper, the favourites in that group, but they really kind of laboured to a win over Senegal in the first game. And as someone who's got skin in the game, wins-wise, it was a bit of a painful watch, Finnegan.
Yeah, well, you got, as you say, you got the two clean sheets, and you would think Senegal, out of the four teams there, you know, the Netherlands, Senegal, Ecuador and Qatar, you'd think that Senegal were the best-placed team to finish second in the group, which, you know, bearing in mind that you were on under the cosh for a large portion of the game, you'd think that is a good sign moving forward for the rest of the game week, with the next two match days, in terms of getting more clean sheets from the pair of them. I mean, presumably you're going to be sticking with Nopper and Dumfries.
Yeah, I mean,
they're not on the chopping block.
It wasn't pretty, but like you say, it's probably the mark of, you know, I don't want to say a good team, but you know, a mature team, the fact that we ground out something. And Nopper, who everyone was shocked to see start, he was kind of like the Louis van Gaal classic penalty pick, in that, you know, he likes sort of bringing on a keeper like Tim Krul, you know, for his antics in 2014. Noppert was expected to be there in that role, but apparently he impressed him so much in training, he's lobbed him in. And to be fair, he had a pretty good game. He was pretty solid between the sticks.
He was decent. He got you an extra save point.
Yeah, and you know, for 4.5 million, bearing in mind that everyone was heaping praise rightly on Guillermo Ochoa for Mexico for 5 million. What a legend.
Yeah.
The fact that he's been brought out cryo freezer around the World Cup. The fact that he's 0.5 more, but only managed two more points from a penalty save, kind of really ramped home for me the fact that Noppert did a good job for me against
him. Completely. I think that he was a really, really handy goalkeeper.
But I got in Noppert for the value and his opposition that he's facing. But Dumfries, who I got in for his attacking potential, actually had a really solid game for the Netherlands defensively, because he forced the highest amount of turnovers on the pitch out of anyone. He was really, really active on the right-hand side, and he needed to be, because
was
Matthias
he much of an attacking threat?
He wasn't really. He was getting he was popping up mainly in the first half, but like, he didn't really drift into the same position that he did during the Euros. I'd expect him to have a bit more joy against the likes of Ecuador and Qatar, but he was also kind of forced into doing a bit more defensively, given that De Ligt, who started in place of Timber, looked really, really ropey, and like, you know, he was on the opposite side of the defence, but he was having to really sort of like fill in what was a bit of a makeshift like back four at times. So, yeah, I thought Dumfries looked good. He's someone that you'd be hoping to bring in, presumably, given who he's still going to play.
He's really high on my list, completely.
And, you know, when you've got budget investing in the likes of Cancelo and that lot, like, he'd be one I'd be looking to get in. But let's talk about Ener Valencia, because I don't think we're going to see another 45 minutes in this group where he was so involved. I mean, goals, one ruled out, injured.
Yeah, I mean, I think he did look good. I mean, it has to be measured by the fact that the Qataris were really, really poor. It was
a string a pass together.
No, it was a terrible start to the group. But in terms of Valencia up against the Dutch defence, I think whilst he was excellent, and I do agree, it was a terrific first half performance, and fair play to him as well. I mean, that's a great way to start your World Cup. I don't think he'll have the same joy again.
He's the main man for Ecuador.
He's very good. I mean, the header was terrific. I mean, it was great. And, you know, I guess you could look at him as a budget option. But I kind of feel like if you were going to do that, the chicken's probably flown the coop. Yeah.
And there are other budget options, which we'll get on to talking about, who've also had eye-catching performances. But, you know, I mean, I made the amateur error of getting in the cheapest defender in the game in Kuki for Qatar. Predictably did absolutely nothing.
Well, I mean, you said he was a goal threat, didn't you, going into it?
Because at one point in time he played as a winger, and so his goal scoring statistics from centre-back for Qatar are ludicrous, but I mean, realistically,
he just feels like a bit of a waste of a space.
Absolutely.
Really, doesn't he?
He's a pick reminiscent of the way I play Fantasy Premier League. I always seem to have like a cheapo enabler.
Who's never going to get onto the pitch. Whereas, of course, in this game, you can't really afford
to
do that.
You can't, because of the way that you're constantly shifting your bench.
Because it properly cuts down the space.
So, I mean, I think in terms of changes I'm going to make for next week, if I can find a way of getting him out, just to have a third playing bench player who is going to do something, I'd be looking at that. But other than that, I mean, Group A, anything else that caught your eye?
Yeah, I mean, so obviously in terms of the, like, going back to the Dutch,
Cody Gakpo, goals excellent.
Jody Gakpo.
You were obviously saying how Louis van Gaal was praising him to the absolute rooftop. So we think he's going to start up front, don't we?
In his press conference, he was basically intimating that he was the difference against Senegal. And honestly, you've got to agree in that. Like, for someone who's 6'2",
yeah,
he was definitely our most mobile attacker in that front three. I know his competition was Vincent Janssen and Steven Bergwijn.
Bergwijn was awful as well.
Yeah, Bergwijn did not play well. And
he's the game's second most owned midfielder.
Yeah.
I've still got him.
Honest, I thought it made sense going into the competition that, like, he was guaranteed, I think he still is guaranteed to start up front in the next fixture. And the fact that he's out of position, mm-hmm. And also like his goal scoring record for the Dutch, I think he's the second highest goal scorer in the Dutch squad behind Depay. But no, he looked really ineffective, and I've already taken him out of the team.
And people obviously will be looking at these Dutch frontline players and the midfield players as well because of the fact that they have got Ecuador. To be fair, they've actually kept 7 clean sheets in a row now, so maybe that's not, you know, they could do it again. I mean, they have been really, really solid defensively. But then obviously Qatar afterwards, with Gakpo at 7 mil, would he be someone that you'd consider targeting? And also, Memphis Depay, sorry, 8.5.
The interesting thing about Depay is that it looked like he was going to be left completely out of the first fixture and he was just going to spend the game on the bench. But given how wobbly we looked in the lead up to our late goals, Van Gaal had to throw him on.
Yeah.
And, you know, it had the desired effect. And even though he wasn't directly involved in the goals himself, we managed to get 2 goals with him on the pitch. But as a result of that, he's still not really up to match condition. And the Dutch press is saying that he's only likely to get 45 minutes again.
Yeah.
And as someone that looked like they were going to get into Depay later down the line and like downgrade maybe like a Harry Kane to him or something, I'm still having to keep my powder dry because I don't think now's the time to bring in Depay, like, because he's just not guaranteed to last a full game, especially when added time is such a factor at the moment as well. Like, I don't think I'll be on Depay, and then that leads on to what you're saying, and that for 7 million, I don't think he can do much better than Gakpo.
He's a snip.
He's the focal point at the moment.
Yeah.
And I know you're taking up one of the precious premium spots up top, but he really is going to be like the primary source of inspiration going forward for that, certainly in the group stage.
I mean, spoiler, I've already done it because I to be able to free up the funds for Musiala to come in ahead of Wabi Kazri, I downgraded Harry Kane, knowing that Kane had the knock. We'll talk a little bit about whether he's going to be fit to start on the next one. But yeah, in terms of the rest of the group, obviously we talked mostly about Netherlands, Ecuador. The team we haven't really talked about is Senegal. Mm. Thought they were unfortunate against you guys. I think if you're in need of a cheap defender, this is the fixture to target because they're away to, obviously everyone's away to Qatar. They're in Qatar. They're playing Qatar. Qatar looked so blunt against Ecuador. Mm. I think someone like Sabally, right back for 4 million, if you want to, because obviously we'll have 2 free transfers, if you want to upgrade another position, I think downgrading a defender to someone Senegalese could be a smart way of maximising your points return. Totally.
And Senegal didn't look mugs as well in attacking sense.
No.
I'm struggling to remember the name of the Watford winner.
Ismail Assar,
indeed.
Yeah.
He was getting a lot of joy down our left-hand side. I mean... the Dutch.
I think he's only 6.5 million as well.
And if you're maybe looking to get off the Skov Olsen wagon.
Well, no, you can't. He's a forward.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, that's the issue of this game.
pesky FIFA. Well, there you go. I mean, it's still FIFA thought. I mean, I was kind of left thinking after this performance by Senegal, like, God, what could they have done with Mane in the side? I know that's kind of like an entirely hypothetical question, but I wouldn't count out Senegal from a fantasy perspective. I think you just got to be a bit clever about who you get in.
Yeah, it was a big blow. I think the only one that I probably advise against getting in is Koulibaly, because I think at 5.5 he's a little
too
bit
much
overpriced. Yes. Yeah. Group B, the fixture that obviously you've mentioned we're starting with tomorrow at 10 o'clock is Wales versus Iran. I put a tweet out about this, much to our guest's chagrin, Leon, last week, about how I don't think banking on Wales assets is particularly wise, because I do think that they are a team who are past their best. I know that is something that you will heartily agree with and will not make us particularly popular in the capital city of Cardiff, where we are recording.
I've got 3 words for you, Finn. England, B, and team. And the sound you can hear in the distance are the people of Cardiff sharpening their pitchforks. Did you see that table that I showed you before the World Cup's kicked off, like saying how like half of the Welsh squad were born in England? Not that that means anything from a point scoring perspective. I just thought it was quite interesting how like these are people who have, you know, shuffled over to the Welsh side of the fence when they realise they're not.
I love how bitter you sound when you talk about Wales.
I think here's the thing, right? I'm gonna try and salvage my reputation in this part of the world. All right, so bear with me. I think that the Welsh national anthem is top three in the world.
Brilliant.
I think their fans are fantastic.
Brilliant.
I think that they're very vocal. They're very supportive. They're lovely. people around the city. Did you see that on BBC News? People down at Depot in Cardiff Bay.
Yeah.
It was like a zoo. Everyone was, you know, kicking off, you know, beers in the air. From a footballing perspective, one trick pony. It's the Gareth Bale show.
Do you think that the passion will get them through here against Iran? Do you think they'll get a result? Because if they do, they're in a very good position to qualify from the group.
The point they got against the US was so valuable in that if they'd lost to the US, they would have been down.
They looked better in the second half. Kiefer Moore starting up front, or not starting up front, Kiefer Moore coming on at half time.
They
look
better
striker.
With Moore on the pitch as well.
Because he just offers something a bit different.
He's a treat.
He is, as you always called him, an expensive treat. He's 6 million, Kiefer Moore. I feel like banking on any of the Wales assets probably isn't the way to go. But you would think from his performance against the US, he probably will start against Iran and might cause them some problems. He's the only one that I think is anywhere near worth taking a look at.
Yeah, it's a really interesting fixture because I don't think Iran are quite as bad as they showed against England.
I agree, yeah. They were torn apart in the end, but I don't...
They were, and I know there was the crucial injury to their goalkeeper. I know there was very stop-start and, you know, it was quite a bitty game.
Taremi,
in the first half.
Two goals.
Taremi, and I know it's not the fancy game we're discussing, but I picked Taremi some rubbish other, like, throwaway fancy thing, and I thought I'd put him in as an enabler. Two goals.
Yeah,
you know,
he's decent.
And he's a player. He looked...
He's by far and away their star man.
Yeah,
he's great.
I don't know what he's priced at because I didn't do my research.
7 mil.
Yeah, it's probably about fair in this game, honestly. I mean, I don't think Iran are going to get through, is my gut reaction. I still think it's probably going to be England and the US.
Yeah, I agree.
I was flirting with the romantic idea of Wales getting through. But it's going to be a really, really tight game. I wouldn't be surprised to see this finish in a draw again.
Yeah, which will make it a bit precarious. But
yeah,
then
and it doesn't really help either side.
It would be interesting, wouldn't it?
From a Wales perspective, I know that a couple of people in our mini league have got Bale in. Bale owners were robbed, by the way, in the last game week because he should have been on 7 points because he won the penalty.
Well, I think he will be on 7 points eventually. Wow. They will put the points in. They can't not have them there.
I won't be so sure.
Maybe not. I mean, if they don't, it's a complete...
But he should have been on 7. It's currently on 5. We'll see if that gets adjusted or not. Mm-hmm. But Bale is the man for Wales. And if you haven't got Bale, I wouldn't be considering any others.
No, completely. England, Bellingham looked... astonishingly good, box to box. For the metrics in this FPL game as well, FPL game, fantasy game, they obviously count tackles, they count key passes, and of course goal involvements. He's doing everything.
He's all action.
So is someone you consider or not?
Yeah, I mean, seeing the way that games went in the first set of fixtures, mm-hmm. I think he's one you've got to consider because the sort of games we've seen are not ones where midfielders are like... you know, banging in goals from long range. I mean, here's a stat for you, Finn. In the first set of fixtures, there's not been a single goal scored outside the box yet.
Really?
In any of the games.
That's really surprising.
All of the goals that have been scored in this World Cup so far have been scored inside the penalty area.
Really? I mean, that's fascinating. I mean, you always think of World Cup games as having sort of these long-range belters, don't you?
And there haven't been any yet. And
Brazil got close a couple of times.
They did, yeah, especially like from
Sandro Casemiro,
that was the one. And Fred as well had a bit of a speculative effort that we've just seen. But yeah, I think that suits a player like Bellingham quite nicely in that he is going to tick along and pick up those points
He just needs to continue getting forward in the way that he has. If England is to succeed, really.
Yeah, and he's so nailed in that team. He's gone from being someone on the sort of precipice of the England setup to being like an absolute like cemented name on the team sheet. So
yeah,
he's one to look at. I mean, Bukayo Saka statistically got the highest points of any player in the game.
Terrific.
He was great as well.
I mean, they all were, to be fair, for England. Even the substitutes when they came on were really good. Yeah. Phil Foden, who we were discussing before the tournament, is a particularly big option. Obviously, he didn't start.
Yeah.
And I don't think from the performance looks like he's going to start. So if you've got him, get rid.
Yeah, indeed. I mean, I think part of the reason I was so put off from getting in more than just the one England asset before is because we just didn't know who was going to start.
Sure.
I would wager that as a result of the strong performances from a couple of them against Iran, I mean, Saka's got to start again. Bellingham's got to start again.
I don't think you change anything, really.
No, you wouldn't. I mean, like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, you know. But, yeah, if you've got any of those England fringe players in, even the ones that scored, like Grealish, I'd probably move them on for ones that are more set.
Likewise. Kane has had the scan. Obviously, eventually came off injured. He has been announced as fit by Southgate. We have seen in the past that when Kane has played, when he is not 100% fully fit in big fixtures, i.e. Champions League final 2019...
Anonymous.
He can go missing. So obviously we've both got him. Mm. Are you worried about having him against the US? It's tougher opposition, you'd argue, than Iran.
Yeah, if I was going to move on any of my attackers this week, it'd be Kane.
Yeah.
And that's not to discredit his two assists in his opener. I just think that the way that England are playing at the moment, even when he's playing well, other players are going to be as involved.
Getting in behind, really.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And that's where they had all the joy against Iran. I know that the US are going to play different to Iran, you know, surprise, surprise. But I think especially with the... He's 12 million, isn't he? Or there or thereabouts.
He's 11 mil.
He's 11 mil. Okay, yeah, still on the steeper side. It might be the savvy thing to do, downgrading Kane to like the likes of like Richarlison or a Gakpo and then reinvesting that money like elsewhere in your team.
That's what I've done.
Yeah, well, there you go. Well, watch him get egg on his face spectacularly now. But
Trippier and Shaw also, 5 million, worth quickly pointing out. They look like too cheap to ignore.
Really unlucky not to get something.
Agreed,
because
yeah.
He was on all the corners, all the set pieces, even from open play, he looked really good.
His crosses were fab.
Yeah, and like he just adds such a much needed crossing dimension to that England attack. So I would even be tempted by the Shaw Trippier double up.
Yeah, I think it's wise. For the US, lacked a bit of cutting edge, probably wait and see, wouldn't put any of their players in for this fixture.
The conspicuous absence was Giovanni Reina.
Yeah, and he was the one I was tipping before the tournament to do really well for them. I don't know if he was injured. I missed sort of what happened.
I don't know. Might have missed the flight.
He's
but
not
yeah,
there.
He was a really surprise omission for me. But I'd be really interested to see the way that the US England game goes down, because US having been a traditional bogey team for us as well.
Group C, we need to talk about Argentina. They play Mexico. They were so poor in that second half against Saudi Arabia. Does it give you doubts regarding their assets? You 100%. Mentioned earlier on that it does, yeah.
Because like the enabler midfielder in the game is Rodrigo De Paul for 5 million.
He was terrible.
He was awful. Single touch of the ball he had was like, it was like that Simpsons skit where Sideshow Bob starts stepping on all the rakes.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable, but it was kind of representative of Argentina as a whole. They just looked off. The passing was off in the second half. The fitness looked off. Like, even a player like Messi got on the score sheet, didn't look 100% fit.
No.
And it was really worrying. They weren't pressing, and I can't help but feel we've put the kiss of death on them.
Well, yeah, we did both predict them to win the World Cup, and we also predicted Liverpool to win the Premier League. So
yeah, it's our fault.
I mentioned last week I thought that Di Maria was past it. It wasn't an option. You did get him in. Was he someone that you're going to get out again?
Well, the funny thing is, I only brought in Di Maria once I saw him on the team sheet starting.
Ah, I see. Okay.
Because the reason he wasn't in my original draft is I'd read a statistic somewhere, I think it might have been on Twitter, that even during World Cup qualifying, he was struggling to get to 60 minutes a game. And seeing how he was in that game, especially how he was linking up with other aspects of the attack, I thought to myself, Jesus, if there's anyone to move on this week, it's him, especially for the price. Because I feel like even when we were looking at our initial teams, the more expensive midfielders aren't necessarily worth it.
No.
Like the likes of Sané, I thought, were a bit expensive.
Madison's at eight.
Right, Madison's at eight, and Di Maria definitely falls into the category of always a little bit steep.
Yeah, so, Anthony as well.
So, as someone who's a triple Argentina owner, I've kind of got the shits this
I think one of Depaul or Di Maria will not start the next game. I think... largely because, the like you had mentioned, the quality of passing was not good. I think someone that they could potentially bring in who would provide a more consistent passing quality would be Alexis McAllister. Mm. I don't know whether he will come in. I would suggest that if I was Scaloni, that would be the thing I would do. Mm. I think one of them will come out. But, you know, so in terms of transfer plans, maybe that's the way to go. Lautaro Martinez looked bright, despite not having a goal registered. He put a bunch of goals in. Of course,
three ruled out.
Yeah, in the first half. It could have been four. I mean, it was amazing. The Saudis were great. They looked really, really strong. They were tenacious. And I think that they do now, sort of, obviously, they stand a really good chance of going through.
It's a shame that the other fixture didn't have a winner, because otherwise Argentina would have been in real trouble if there had been a winner in the Mexico-Poland game.
Completely. And they were both a bit lacklustre. Before we quickly move on, the only Saudi Arabia player I want to mention is Salem Al-Dawsari, who is the striker who scored the second goal. He's 4.5 mil. Again, super cheap. Could be one to look at if you really needed to invest fantastic.
For me, I know it's not a fancy thing, but I know that everyone's been talking tonight about Richarlison's goal for Brazil being goal at all.
Oh.
I would disagree. I think it's that second Saudi goal.
Really?
Yeah,
I think Martinez should do a bit better with
that. I think the way that he takes the initial touch, fashions the space, switches it onto his other foot, and the way he leathers it in, I think, like, especially the significance in the game, I just think it was a fantastic goal.
Fair enough.
I fully agree with you tipping.
Yeah, I thought Gavi's goal was the tournament. So
yeah,
that's great. But they were both great. In terms of the other teams there, World Cup doesn't seem to be Robert Lewandowski's bag. Missed a penalty. He has got many demons here. Guillermo Ochoa, like you mentioned at the start.
Legend of the game.
Incredible.
Nobody sees him for 4 years.
No.
And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, he's back and he's doing what he does best. He's a Mexican cult hero.
Brilliant. Also, big props if you did go for Matty Cash at 4 million for Poland. He looked solid, as did they against Mexico. I'm really interested to see what happens to the games there, because I think that Group C is potentially one of the more difficult ones to predict.
Mm.
Group D, Denmark-France. Now, this was something that we thought would be battle of the big guns, really, but Denmark were particularly poor against Tunisia from what we saw. It surprised a lot of people, I think. We obviously had Joachim Meller in the pair, as we did get a clean sheet point from him. Surely he's going to be unlikely to keep one against France.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, France, once they kicked into gear, just looked a level above Australia. Great moment when Australia did get one against them. But yeah, I mean, you would think that the French might just have too much... it and will definitely breach that Denmark defence. But again, Meller's one that I got in for the attacking aspect, in that, you know, he plays so advanced and was such a revelation during the Euros and is way too cheaply priced at 4.5. But
got forward.
He did get forward, and your other pick, Skov Olsen, played as part of a front two.
Well, and from what I could see, he was probably Denmark's most threatening player against Tunisia. Yeah. He did finish particularly well for a disallowed goal, which gives hope. But against France, he has scored against France. I mean, he scored against them in the Nations League in September. So maybe, but six mil. So I feel like I'm definitely going to keep him in the team. It sounded like you wanted to get rid.
If I can find something creative to do with the funds. Otherwise, Scott Olsen will be. I just wanted to give a shout out to Schmeichel again.
There
are a lot of good goalkeeping options. I think it basically just comes down to the money, which is why I'm quite happy to stick with Noppert. But if you're wanting to get in a reliable pair of hands.
Yeah.
I mean, both like Ochoa, Schmeichel,
Schmeichel was the one that Max was talking about last week, and he was one that was in my top three on my watch list. I plumped for Martinez.
You can't go wrong.
Yeah. I think you're paying the money.
He'll definitely get save points against France.
Yeah.
He will. He's that kind of keeper. He'll let in a couple, but he might just compensate for it.
Yeah. France, I thought, looked a little defensively suspect, which raises questions about Benjamin Pavard's space in my team. I think for you, with Teo Hernandez, I'd be a bit more okay with it because he offers so much in the attack. Giroud, he's 7.5 mil, 11 points in that game. Yeah. He's the gift that keeps on giving for France. Again, another one really who, I mean, Giroud probably, I think, in terms of the under 8 mil strikers, might be your best bet because France creates so much and he just defies age, logic, everything.
You know exactly what you're going to get with Giroud, which is the thing. I mean, he's
just always going to be in the right space. Yeah, to score
such a reliable outlet, and you know, for the price that he is, especially in the absence of Benzema now, it makes sense for me. And I know that we both had Mbappe as our 12th man.
Yes,
which came off day one.
Well,
even though he got his 9-pointer, if you wanted the clever pick, it's got to be Giroud because he's not going to last the whole game. But he's just so impactful, you know, up there as like the focal point of that French attack. And with Mbappe playing out wide and putting in like reliable balls to him as soon as he hits the line, I imagine that he's going to keep on ticking along and he's definitely going to pick up goals. So, you know, if you're looking, you know, at the cut price option and thinking, no, I just want someone like solid playing for a good team who's definitely going to like keep on getting the goals.
Yeah, Giroud.
It's got to be Giroud.
Yeah, completely agree. Tunisia received a lot of praise for their performance against Denmark. Not maybe a particularly flashy pick, but Ludini was someone who apparently has been touted as an option. Apparently, Larry Ludini. Apparently, he was very industrious, made lots of tackles, and was good at bombing forward as well. Group E, of course, the second massive shock of the tournament was the fact that the Germans lost to Japan, which you wouldn't have predicted at halftime after that Ilkay Gundogan penalty. Germany were on top. They were simply punished for not taking their chances. I thought Gnabry looked lively, but was a big culprit for that. And I am starting to feel a little bit iffy about my Jamal Musiala pick, because obviously they got Spain next, who was so good against Costa Rica. And whilst I think Musiala was, again, like Scott Olsen, Germany's best attacking player, he looked brilliant, his movement was fantastic. There was one bit where he beat four Japanese defenders and then blazed a shot over the bar. He seemed to fluff his lines with the chances. Yeah. And whether he'll be able to do that against the Spain side that are looking so imperious is another matter. So not feeling brilliant about
Spain looked brilliant. And if you're Germany, you just felt a little bit like...
It's happening again.
Yeah, and that you can tell there are a couple of players that just looked a bit haunted. And like, I know that doesn't translate into like a cold, hard analysis on the German assets, but they were ones that, barring Kimmich, who I basically just put in because I thought he'd get the key passes and get the tackle points. Germany were a team I was willing to overlook beforehand. And now that I've seen, you know, what was done to them by Japan, who looked brilliant, by the way, like just
they were great,
so, like,
really industrious
and
yeah.
clever, because they set up like in the same shape, but just did like Germany was so much less like positive and up and at them. And I don't know, like I'm looking at that German team and I'm looking at the prices that they've been given and thinking to myself, nah, not now, especially not now,
not against Spain,
because I mean I fully expect Spain to win that game because, you know, by contrast, they were just full of it. I know that Costa Rica just kind of rolled over in the end.
They did, but still, the creative players in their team were fantastic. And obviously, I am kicking myself for not going for Gavi because I was talking about him. 9 points for a 7 million pick is great. He looks likely to get more. I thought Pedri was a little unlucky to finish on no points because he was taken off before 60 minutes and he was the assist to the assist for quite a few of their goals. Torres, 7 million striker, 2 goals. A lot of these Spanish assets you're looking at and going, they're a little bit underpriced actually. Yeah. Danny Olmo, another star.
I mean, the old reliable as well. Pick. I mean, looking further back,
Jordi Alba.
It's Jordi Alba.
Yeah.
Like Jordi
won the penalty.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's kind of a boring pick at this stage. But Alba is just such a like an opportunity in terms of points because, you know, gets forward, wins a penalty in that game, you know, is going
to
be part of
it. He always gets into the box or gets to the byline.
Yeah, and I was just surprised at also just how sort of defensively sound like Spain looked. I mean, no obvious deficiencies. I know they're going to come up against stronger opposition, but, you know, starting to think, oh, who can I get in from Spain?
Yeah, me too. I mean, obviously no one's looking at Costa Rica for this group because they were awful. For Japan, you know,
know, you could probably have a 1 week punt on one of their players. It might be inadvisable because they have Spain next, and if they were to beat Costa Rica, Spain are obviously going to need to play a strong team against them. Yeah. You know, even if you don't look at them in a fantasy term, like you've been saying, they were amazing.
Yeah, really disciplined, really strong, and I'll be scouring for bargains, but I haven't been able to identify any yet.
No, so. Me neither. And Group F, Morocco versus Belgium. Belgium really shaky against Canada. I didn't actually see this. I only caught the highlights. It was one of the two games I wasn't able to get a lot of. But Morocco, by contrast, were really strong against Croatia. So this could be a fascinating game.
Yeah, and also like in terms of Croatian assets, I know that I was a little misled by going for Luka Modric before I ended up getting him out in my final draft. But the interesting picks for me were, you know, looking at that Croatian defence now, you can take your pick because, I mean, Josko Gvardiol is probably my pick of defenders so far this tournament.
He was great.
He's only 20 and he looks so composed and he's a snip at 4 million. Mm. If you want to get even more clever, Borna Sosa for 3.5 million. He started at left back in that game.
Massive kudos if you got on that bandwagon because I think he's something like the 7th or 8th most owned defender in the game and he's totally worth it.
Yeah, there are lots of good right pickings in that Croatian defence, and I know that, you know, it was another case of like the 0-0, and you know, I know
they were blunt again. They were another team who was blunt in attack, but that's not a defence, you know.
And I feel like the fact that we've had all these 0-0s has kind of muddied the water as far as like defences are concerned. And I know that there are a couple of teams that have gotten away with clean sheets where you think, oh, you know, how have they done it? But like, I would be quite comfortable going with either Cavani or Sosa going forward if you need to save money in your defence. I know you've kind of missed the train now as far as like the early value is concerned.
Well, they've got Canada, Croatia.
I definitely, like, if I needed to make a tweak in the next couple of weeks, I'd probably be looking at Croatia. I think Sosa is a really clever pick.
Max's tip for flop of the tournament, Croatia. Really? Weren't great against Morocco.
Well, we won't be getting him on again.
Yeah. I don't know. I thought the defence looked all right. They're very blunt in attack. I could see Morocco usurping them to get through the group here. But again, it all depend on that Morocco. Belgium game, really. It's a weird one for Belgium. Obviously, we've mentioned how De Bruyne didn't turn up, but he isn't justifying that 11 million price tag with that attacking performance from Belgium. Lukaku was one that I had mentioned last week at 9.5, and Batshuayi got the start. Yeah. He's 6.5 million. I know we're talking a little bit about strikers who could be worth it, and they are. That is, there is a limited slot there. But 6.5 mil for Batshuayi is great.
And it's funny, there's two brackets of strikers, aren't there? The ultra premiums, and then there's all these hovering around the 6.5 to 7.5 mark, isn't there? And yeah, Belgium, I don't know how controversial this is. I don't like him.
You've never liked
him. No, but I and this is not even...
I don't think it's that controversial. They were poor against Canada.
Yeah, I mean, the one truly world-class player, like I say, didn't turn up in the form of De Bruyne. Mm. And also, like, it just, they feel a little out of sync or in between cycles at the moment. Like, Trossard was late to get on the pitch, and I thought he did more than Hazard did.
But I'm glad that we didn't go with him.
Yeah, but I mean, that was kind of the noises coming out of the camp before kickoff, was that Martinez was going to trust the older heads. But I just feel like the players that historically have done well for Belgium aren't all that anymore. And also the ones coming through either aren't being trusted or aren't at that level yet. And aside from Batshuayi, who has a surprisingly good record for Belgium, given that he seems to come on and nick a goal in the last 20 minutes of the game as the super sub, even then, I don't think I'd be putting him ahead of the likes of like Giroud and Gakpo.
Maybe not. That's fair enough. It was a good job we didn't have you on last week. Really, do tank your. Sorry, that's not that one again. Good job, really, that you weren't here last week, Jake. Otherwise, we might be doing a tank your rank this week for Alfonso Davies because you were being like, oh.
I didn't have him in my team.
You were trying to hook me on.
Well, no, let me get the transcript up of our previous conversations that we have in our own private time. It says here that I said, have you considered Alfonso Davies? To which you said, fuck no.
Yeah.
And I said, why not? He's on penalties. And he was on penalties.
Yeah.
He got a penalty.
Yeah.
He took the penalty.
Yeah.
And then he missed the penalty.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, there is a slice of luck for the fact that he missed the penalty because he obviously is going to end up on minus points. Yeah. But no, you are.
I mean, he's really involved in that Canada team, like even from left back. He basically just plays as like the auxiliary sort of side outlet, and you know, he does drift inside and all the rest.
Go on, get him in.
Well, no, because I don't think Canada are getting through, and also he In terms of eye-catching performances, I know this is my Reading bias showing again, but this is part of the reason you get me on, isn't it? Junior Hoyler, he's going to win the Ballon d'Or.
Yeah.
He looks so good. Yeah. He looks so... All you need to do is have a 5-minute scroll through Twitter to see people like saying, Junior Hoyler was like...
You are on Reading Twitter, to be fair. So a lot of
But genuinely, like, people listening at home that aren't Reading fans will back me up here. He had a really good game.
I didn't see it, to be Canada, fair. I'm pulling your leg.
Canada were really unlucky, I think, because they kind of just ran out of puff, but they looked really up for it. Mm. And they, you know, kind of looked like a team that were playing... all those players at the World Cup for the first time, and I think they were unfortunate because I think had they scored that penalty in some parallel universe, I think they might have just nicked a result. But they are probably just going to go home early, and they'll be forgotten to the winds of time.
Yeah, plucky losers.
Yeah, but I don't even though no one in their right mind is going to be getting in a Canada asset. I mean, if I were doing Roll the Spice, I'd be getting Junior Hoyler.
Yeah, fair enough. Group G, we obviously literally just finished watching the Brazil game, you and me, against Serbia. Richarlison, two goals, such a cheap option at 7.5. Only 3.3% owned, although, of course, that is going to go up after the fact that he scored both goals there. I did think, apart from that, for Brazil, despite all of the talent they had in their front four, they struggled to create in that opener, really. I mean, obviously, you had Neymar, I had Vinicius, and neither of them... I know I got the assist in the end for Vinicius, but neither of them looked brilliant.
I think it is partly because of the opposition they're up against, because Serbia are sort of stodgy customers and quite shrewd.
But maybe you can make the argument that some of the other teams in Group G, really. Yeah. I mean, they've not got a pushover. They're Switzerland next, Brazil, and they've got Cameroon after that. So, you know.
And both teams played well.
Yeah, in their opener.
But the thing is, like, that once the floodgates opened for Brazil, they were in every time. And I think.
But weirdly enough, that was after all of their attackers have been taken out.
Yeah, completely. But, like, what a strength of depth they've got to call upon. I mean, Rodrigo and Gabriel Jesus and Anthony, when they came on, they all looked, like, really involved and good. Even Fred, you know, who was, like you were saying, was surprising that he didn't start alongside Casemiro. But I think Brazil, like, it's again the mark of a good team, the fact that they did labour for a bit and found a way through. Mm. And they probably were better than the 2-0 scoreline suggested for me in the end. They restricted Serbia to no shots on target. They had like 20 something shots themselves, half of which on target.
Coming on to that then, you mentioned before how Thiago Silva seemed to be a popular option. I think you advised Zabi to go for Alexandro. Are you thinking of getting on the Brazil bandwagon in defence? Because they did look good, you were right.
And like Sandro had that speculative effort which very unluckily came off the post, didn't he? And like their fullbacks rather, do sort of come up and play as wingers or like even come inside. And you know, they play in a way that you kind of expect Brazil to play, but I think that Thiago Silva is still overpriced. I know he played that nice ball through for Vinicius, early doors.
Yeah.
I think Brazil are a team that I'm still expecting to do well. I just haven't quite crystallised on a pick from them yet.
Yeah, fair enough.
I think Richarlison is brilliant, and like he's one that the Athletic were tipping before the game started. I think we all kind of got distracted by the glamorous, glitzy premium options. I mean, someone like me that had like Messi,
we were both talking about Richarlison and neither of us went for him.
Yeah, I think as well a lot of people will have been put off by the fact that Gabriel Jesus might start, but there is a reason why he's got the number 9 shirt, Richarlison, and he's
the starter.
Yeah, and he looked so good. He could well have got more as well. So he's definitely a top of the pops as far as picks in his price range are concerned.
Completely. The one that I really want to talk about, Switzerland, you probably would say you wouldn't be picking him against Brazil. The one from the Serbia-Cameroon game that I think could be a shout, and I don't think a lot of people are going to look at them because they've just lost 2-0 to Brazil. From Serbia's perspective, Filip Kostic could be a shout. He's much cheaper than Tadic. He's 6 million as opposed to 8. And you'd think against... slightly not as good opposition that they might have chance to roam forward a bit more.
Six mil.
What I'm saying is a cheap mid. Midfielders, there's a dearth of them in this game.
I just think it's such a tough group.
You know? I do.
Such a tough group.
But they haven't got to play Brazil anymore.
Well, this is the thing, because I mean, like we've talked about early groups like Group A, about how there are teams that you would target. And in this group, it just feels like whoever you get in, they're all going to be up against competent opposition. And that's kind of the reason why I haven't really looked in this group for many picks beyond Neymar so far, because there aren't any mugs. Yeah, you know,
I agree.
I'm kind of doing that mean thing where I sort of, especially ahead of next week, I'm looking at teams where I think they can definitely be got at, and I'm looking at Group G and thinking none of these teams can be got at.
Yeah, completely. For a team of for a group of non-mugs, let's move on to what I would describe as a group of mugs in Group H, because I think Portugal, Uruguay, Korea Republic, and Ghana have all got pretty major flaws, and it kind of makes it an exciting group. Disappointing that Ghana didn't get that late equaliser against Portugal, because it really would have opened it up.
Yeah, they're all... This is what I think is so fun about competitions like this, where you got so many teams in a state of flux. Like, they are all really sort of, like, unconventionally... like staffed in terms of like the ages, and that they've all got their own, like, you've got Cristiano for Portugal, is obviously over the hill. You've got Suarez for Uruguay, and like, those are two players where I'm like, I'm not going anywhere near. Ghana are just fun because of just how gung-ho they were. And remind me who the other team is.
Korea Republic,
that group.
Son,
the funny thing watching that that South Korea game, like, they were really unlucky not to score, by the way. They missed a couple of like open goals. Every time that Son gets on the ball, like, even their own fans are like, whenever the ball goes to Son, everyone's like, because that's
the thing with the Korea is they don't have a lot of massive quality apart from Son in attack. Weirdly, the defence, I would say, is probably a bit more solid. Yeah. I mean, Son isn't massively expensive for the player quality of player. He's at 8.5 mil. He is obviously a striker.
He didn't really look that involved.
He didn't against Uruguay.
And I know he's had his broken eye socket, and I know, you know, that will have affected him, and he's probably not quite fully fit. But like you say, teams will be targeting him.
Yeah, another player who I think is a bit of a fantasy issue, who you and I did earmark as a fantasy issue, but going into the game week, for some reason, the world didn't listen to us. He was the second most owned player and midfielder in the game. He isn't anymore because his ownership has gone down. I don't think Bergwijn has particularly gone up, but Federico Valverde...
Yeah. Not playing in the same role.
He isn't. That's the issue, is the fact that you've got Pelistri, Suarez and Nunez as part of that front three. When Valverde has been playing for Real Madrid recently, he has been playing as part of the front three. And it kind of means that, yes, he did have a 30-yard bolt that's cannoned off the post, but, you know, that's what he's being reduced to in an attacking sense. So probably one to get rid of if you got him.
How did you rate João Cancelo?
Well, I mean, Cancelo's one that I am going to get rid of. I think he was clearly a poor investment. The reason being, whilst he essentially plays as an auxiliary midfielder for Manchester City, he isn't offered that same licence to roam in that Portugal side, probably because they're essentially playing a CDM at centre-back with Danilo, meaning they need a bit more defensive stability. He wasn't particularly defensively stable either, I thought, Cancelo. He was a culprit for both of the goals.
Well, see, this is the reason.
So he has to come out. Yeah. I think you were right in not getting him in.
Well, because I feel like people with their own unconscious biases will look at players that have served them well in Fantasy Premier League or Fantasy Champions League and kind of assume, okay, they're a good pick for the money. But they're not being deployed in the same way. No. And especially the way that Portugal set up, and they're like traditionally quite sort of austere. I didn't think, like, especially when you've got Cancelo and Dumfries priced similarly.
I think you definitely made the right pick.
I think it makes sense to favour old Denzel over João.
I completely agree. The only one from Portugal that I'd probably majorly consider, because they do look strong in attack, I thought Fernandes looked fantastic. I really wanted to bring him in on the budget hack. I didn't have the funds. But yeah, he had an excellent game. And I think...
Picked up a yellow, though, in classic Bruno fashion.
Yeah, Bruno always does, though. He has a little moan at the ref, doesn't he?
But it's especially, like we were saying, how aside from De Bruyne, there aren't really any like premium midfielders that we would look to be getting in. Bruno is certainly one that I would.
Yeah.
And there aren't many of them. So if you did want to reallocate funds, maybe look at Bruno.
Completely agree. That's it for the groups. We've managed to get through them. Should be a little before we go on to our new spicy game,
we had to do something on the spice. We did, wire, especially we did. Like in there's a country full of spice. Yeah. Did you see David Beckham prowling the spice markets?
Yeah, less said about that, the fucking better.
Well, it's like counting his Qatari dollars.
Yeah, exactly. Transfer plans for next week. We've got two each, haven't we? Unless we're playing a chip. Are you going to play your wild card?
No, actually, I might be giving the game away here. I'm actually going to use it the week after this.
Yeah, I think you mentioned that. Actually.
Yeah, when teams are going to be looking to rest people and
rotate. Yeah.
and I'll probably use it ahead of the knockouts, which might be
Then we give him a free one ahead of the knockouts.
Yeah, and so for this one, I'm just going to navigate it with my regular old 2-3 transfers, and honestly, with the fixtures I've got, I'm probably just going to have to like get out ones that I just don't fancy. Di Maria is one of them that I'm looking to move on. I'm just not comfortable going into that Mexico fixture with three from Argentina.
Yeah.
Even though, like, they're going to have to really, you know, pull their finger out to turn it around. Another one I was kind of annoyed that I got in as part of like the budget glitch was Jorge Andarrasqueta for Uruguay. People before the tournament were saying that he was going to start.
He didn't.
He's not been started. No. But, you know, saying that he did get a lot of goals in qualifying.
You can't be happy with your midfield at the moment.
No, I'm really not, because
so who are you looking to get in? Who are the people that you really want to get in?
In terms of like who was eye catching, I don't know. I mean, you've said about Bruno. I don't know whether like Bruno is one I'm just going to have to plump for. But like, I think it's going to kind of be born. My transfer plans are going to be dictated by who I get in up front.
Yeah.
And I think I probably am going to downgrade Kane.
Yeah.
To somebody that we discussed, like either Richarlison or Giroud. I think then that would give me the money to basically pick anyone I wanted in the midfield, and it might be Bruno, might not be, but I'm quite happy with my defence. Aside from Joachim Mela, who's playing France, I mean, I back Teo against Denmark, Dumfries against Ecuador, and Shaw against the US.
Mm-hmm.
I might put my money where my mouth is and double up on England and bring in Trippier for Mela. I don't know.
I think that's, yeah, I like that move.
I might actually do that by I've got,
you'll have to do that by tomorrow.
Well, I've got Kuki stinking up the place on my bench, so I might well find the money to upgrade Kuki to Trippier.
To sum it up, you don't know.
I don't know. I've got avenues. Yeah. I've got avenues of stuff I'm exploring, but sure. I think, like we were saying before we hit record, Finn, like there are so many players in the game,
yeah.
And I feel like we haven't learned that much from game week one, so we're still kind of fumbling around.
Maybe not. I feel like there are teams that we can work out who to target and who not to.
You've got teams, but you've not really got players in that. Like you've, as far as fantasy is concerned, you've got a lot of players of similar values floating around on equal points.
Yeah.
And it's really basically like a future planning exercise.
Yeah.
So, I mean, have you got any more clarity than I have?
Yeah, I think I know you what I'm going to do. Yeah, I mean, well, I've made my moves from last week, the 2-3 transfers that I had. Obviously, I've got Gakpo in, so I've got Gakpo, Messi and Vinicius now as my front three. The two transfers that I want to make are probably ones for tomorrow.
Mm.
And I don't want to have Estupiñán in against the Dutch. And I probably do want to have one of the Senegalese defenders in against Qatar. So I think I'll probably go Estupiñán to Sabally.
Yeah, nice.
And use that and essentially just hop between the teams that face Qatar and get one of the defensive assets in each time.
I know it's boring, but I think that's the way to go.
Yeah, I do. I mean, I genuinely, from the way that Qatar looked, I can't see them scoring. And you can clip that up and play it back to me tomorrow when they go and thrash the Senegalese 6-0. But yeah, I think that's pretty a wise one to do. And like we've said as well, Cancelo probably needs to come out, and the sensible replacement is Denzel Dumfries. Yeah. So I think that I'll probably make those two changes. They're not particularly interesting changes.
No. It's not a particularly interesting game. Makes you wonder why we bother.
I agree. Should we move on to the new game that we've got just for World Cup Fantasy?
Come on, you've got to think of another like a cappella jingle for it. Come on then.
The spice is right.
The spice is indeed correct. All right. The spice is right.
We've
for one night only, we've reanimated Brucey. Old Brucey's here. Is Bruce Forsyth.
I wish I could do a Bruce Forsyth impression.
You don't need to inflict that on people. But yeah, so the idea is we're doing a variation of our usual Roll the Spice.
Roll the Spice.
Given that it's a very spicy country, we're told. Not Wales, that's Qatar. The notion loosely is that Finn has identified some spicy picks from each position on the pitch, and little old me over here is going to run my eye over them and probably slag them off at the same time, and then pick which one for me the spice is right.
The spice is right, or most definitely wrong. What position would you like to start? Do you want me to go? Oh,
let's start from the back. Let's go keeper.
Okay,
to right.
So the keeper that I'm going to go for, despite the fact that I myself have said that I think that they are a team who are not looking particularly strong in attack. By the way, I have picked all players here that are under 1% ownership. The under 1% keeper that I've gone for at 5 million is Dominic Livakovic for Croatia.
Okay, I'm glad you told me who he played for, because I would have had no idea.
Well, Livakovic. Yeah. Oh really? Okay, yeah. He's a decent keeper. He's a good shot stopper.
Oh, he's the bastard who's always in my FIFA packs, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah, that's the one.
He plays for not
Split.
Is it Split?
That Dominic Livakovic? Yeah. I mean, I think that he, you know, there are potentially other better Croatian defensive assets to get in, but I think you could do a lot worse than Livakovic in that Croatian team. Also, just as you know, little you know, precursor, there are barely any playing keepers under 1%. Anyway, so Livakovic is
quite funny. Like, given that you've said that, you know, there's a 4 million playing keeper for Croatia, it's even more amusing that people went for Al Shib for Qatar, because Jesus Christ, I mean, between the two of them,
we nearly did, mate.
Yeah, it's got to be. Well, I mean, and the joke's on me because I ended up going for a Qatar defender anyway. But yeah, I mean, fine. Yeah, after I've talked up Croatia, it makes sense.
Joint cheapest Spanish defender. Is one of the greatest Premier League fullbacks of all time, and that's Cesar Azpilicueta.
Not Dave.
You know, I think you could do a lot worse.
You're antagonising me. Yeah,
you could do a lot worse. He's 0.5% owned. If you wanted a cheap way into that Spain back line, he is a way of getting it. If you don't have the funds for Jordi Alba, Dave Azpilicueta could be your way forward. Okay. You know, a Laporte 5.5, Alba
for me,
at 6.
For me, the price. For me, the spice is wrong, I'm afraid.
Well, I know, but that's because you've got prejudice.
I am
going to stick with Spain as well for the midfield. I was potentially going to go for Ludini, who I mentioned earlier on Puccini. I'm not going to go for that because Dani Olmo is also 0.8% owned in the game. He is 8 million.
So he's one of the top scorers in the game. So
yeah, he is. He is an investment. I would say that he's probably the least spicy option here because he is someone that has performed particularly well. Well, however, have people got on that bandwagon? No. So maybe he is spicy. Yeah. Maybe there's something there.
Maybe the spice was lying in plain sight
all along. The spice is hiding. That's what we're going to rebrand the game to.
Where's Wally?
Where's my spice?
Yeah, where's my spice? Dude, where's my spice? Yeah.
0.6% owned to the last guy. Okay. I am getting an asset from their team in. It's from Senegal. 6.5 million. I am going to put Ismail Assar there. I do think that the Senegalese are probably going to exploit that Qatari backline. They don't look very good. I think that he is a really cheap option.
I think he would have been brilliant had he been priced like as a midfielder.
I think the thing is with Sarr is that he, like you said, he looks dangerous, and his final two games he's not got to play the Dutch anymore. I also think that if you're not playing that wild card in week three, match day three, he is someone who's probably going to play both games. So you know, he's a safe pick. He's, you know, maybe you're strategically planning in advance. There you go. Are any of my spices?
You've given me a smorgasbord of spice.
I have.
It's like you've laid your spice all out in a row in front of me, and I've got to, like, you know, get a straw and huff a load of them.
We know who you're not picking.
Get Dave out of the equation straight away.
Which is prejudice.
The
spice
is wrong.
I genuinely think he's the best option.
No, I think you're wrong. I like Livakovic, weren't off for the fact that it's a keeper, and I feel like people have kind of got their keepers set at this point, especially because they've got Roche you know, Ferrero, and
he was, by the way, an excellent 4.4 million pick Roche.
But very annoyed actually that he did keep that clean sheet because he's on my bench, but I did have old Dries Nopper in, so it's 6'8" king. So that leaves me then with Dani Olmo. His teeth, I think his tooth to go ratio is very spicy. But I kind of just do get the feeling that, you know, that he might have just got all his points out of the way early before Christmas. For me, having seen him and having passed the eye test in spectacular fashion, I'm gonna have to go for old Ismail Assar. Because I know it's boring for us to be, you know, targeting Group A. I just think it's such a live wire. If you haven't quite got the budget for one of the 7 and 7.5 millions, and it's certainly, you know, out there in terms of his ownership, I think it's a really nice, spicy pick. Certainly does the ticket. I'll be whacking him in my curry ASAP.
He's a great transfer target this week.
The spice, is right.
The spice is right.
The spice is right. A great chance for Qatar.
I won. Yeah. I won the game. I played against myself.
How could you?
It's like solitaire.
I see. Yeah.
Because you could have said the spice is wrong, but I don't think you knew that was an option.
The spice is wrong.
The spice is wrong. Jake, that concludes our match day 2 preview for the draft.
Have you enjoyed having me back?
I have. I've loved having you back.
Yeah, I was worried that I wasn't going to be invited back after the debut that Cleon and Max had last
just
week.
Blanked from here on in.
Jacob, who's he?
Well, of course, you're going to be without me next week. I'm away.
How will I survive?
So you're going to have to do the match day 3 preview, not on your lonesome. With
if I can't find anyone, it is going to be like that episode when you forgot to upload your audio and it sounded like I was talking to myself, except I will actually be talking to myself.
I'd like to hear it. I just want to hear an internal monologue.
I'm going
to
get a sock puppet on my right hand and go like, welcome to the Drunken Transfer with me and Mr. Socko.
Yeah, brilliant.
It's been a pleasure. I'm bitterly disappointed that you're ahead of me by a point in the overall standings. I will have rectified that mistake by next week.
Yeah, of course. There is the Drunken Transfer League. You can still join if you like.
I don't know why you would. The game's shit.
Yeah, well, completely. But your code is 3YQBR5LO. You can also find that on our Twitter page at Drunken Transfer. We've got 13 teams in the league right now, and this mug here talking to you right now is winning.
It's all a fix. It's all a fiddle. And also, in terms of it being a fix and a fiddle, Finn has been the one pumping out all the tweets recently. So if you've got any like gripes with any of the stuff we've been putting out on the Twitter sphere, take it up with Finn, not me. I've been on sabbatical.
And if you do, just post them in a little bin.
Yeah, send all of your abuse to Finn Stockton.
Jacob, lovely chatting.
Yeah. See you. May all your cups be worldly.
Goodbye.
Bye then.